Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner is one of the founders of the brand Fuel Goods, which, if you're not familiar, is a fuel marketplace with the goal to make sports nutrition approachable for all people, body types, and speeds. We get to peek into her personal journey for this episode, though, walking through her training for her first marathon and how challenging it was transitioning from being a professional cyclist to running her first marathon. Super grateful to have her on to tell her story, and please go out and support Fuel Goods after the show. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. Please welcome Courtney. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you today. I've been a big fan of Fuel Goods for some time. Just love everything that you guys are doing with like positivity in the running space, inclusivity in the running space. So super excited to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. And thank you. That means a lot to us that you see our mission and it aligns. And yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to dig into your personal journey a little bit, and then obviously we'll get into how Fuel Goods all came about and where it is now. But if you want to start from the beginning, how did you get introduced to movement, to running? Like, how did this whole journey start for you?
Yeah, well, I have been a competitive person since I think I came out of the womb. I got that from my dad and my mom. But yeah, I've always just been from a 6-year-old, I used to do the little runs at school and be super competitive. And I think it just kind of hung with me. And my dad was he was always a really good athlete. He was a runner, then started a restaurant, didn't have time for it, so took up cycling. And I found his bike and started riding and got very hooked on riding. I tried to do a triathlon, and unfortunately, I didn't have a very good sense of direction in the swim. And I would generally swim the complete opposite direction I was supposed to go. So I'd always come out last on the swim. And then I'd get to the bike and just that feeling of passing everyone because you're dead last.
Sure.
Feeling. So I was like, well, maybe I'll give cycling a go. So then I, got full gas into cycling, moved to America from New Zealand. I'm originally from New Zealand in 2011 to race on a cycling team. And then after that year, got signed by a professional team in the US and continued racing for about 10 years. So yeah, always have that drive, and it used to be my entire world. And then as work, 2020 was obviously a big year for everybody with COVID and everything, and we couldn't, Laura, my business partner, and I, we both race bikes, and we couldn't really travel or do any racing, so we really focused on a business that we had together, which was back then a runner and rider box, subscription boxes, and just got a lot of excitement out of that, noticed how much it could grow with the time not being away. And obviously, like, being able to move the passion from the bike to work is a lucky thing to have. And then I just sort of got more into work. And then I think I was at the end of my career anyway, and work got so busy, I just didn't have the time to spend 5 hours a day on my bike. So I've always liked running. It's always been something I've enjoyed. And I was sort of looking, it was a tough year for me, and I was looking to sort of get different friends, non-cycling friends. My life had been cycling, and so I just joined the running group. At the minute I got there, you know those where you get friends that are just like your fast friends? You meet them.
Oh, totally.
You're like, yeah, we're
These
friends.
These are my people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of happened, and I just got straight into running, and I loved everything about it. I love the time that it took to go for a run versus a bike ride. I love the fact I could really push myself. It took obviously a while to be able to fully push my body because I'd been doing a non-impact sport my entire life. So
sure,
that was quite a transition. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's an inner motivation. I love to exercise. It's my mental health. It's sometimes maybe I wake up and I could say I might want to stay in bed, but I know that I will regret it. So, yeah, I've just been a lifelong athlete, and it just, I love it.
So cool. I love it. Cool. So what was the transition like from, I know you said that you immediately found your group of people and your friends and everything, but what was like the transition with your body, like mindset, moving from bike to running at the time?
At first I tried to do both. I was like, yeah. I can't give up cycling yet. I can't.
Yeah, right.
I can't do it. So I tried to do both, but realized that was a bit much. And then in terms of transitioning to running, I think a big reason that I was able to do it is because I do a lot of gym work. And I really do think that if I'd just come straight from cycling to running with no gym, I think it would have been really tough because, again, like I had bad bone density at the age of 14 because of my sport. And I really focused on doing weights, plyometrics, things that really helped me with that transition. And I did that during my cycling career. And then I did a little bit more outside of it because and alongside running. And I think that, yeah, really helped. One thing that I would think that after 15 years of racing a bike, I would learn, but I didn't, is that I like to go out extremely hard and generally low. I'm not very good at pacing myself. So the idea of a marathon was like, no way. And that stuck with me to running. So yeah, the first group run I did, I'd probably been running for a couple weeks, and I went with there was some fast guys there. I was like, I can keep up with them. And I went out full gas and I pretty much walked back. Because I can't go with those guys.
Sure.
So the mindset stayed. But yeah, I do believe that the reason I was able to start running how I did, I had the endurance background, and I think a lot of the gym stuff really helped with being able to transition into that.
Totally. That makes sense. And I think it's cool that you were like a professional athlete on the cycle, and then you were coming to running and you're starting where a lot of runners start from, which I think is pretty cool. I think a lot of people will relate to that feeling of like, I don't know how to hold myself back. I don't know what to do with my body in the beginning. Like, that's super relatable. When do you feel like things started to click for you, or when did you start to, like, I guess, improve your running IQ, so to speak?
I think I'm still getting there.
Yeah, I think we all are.
It just took a few runs like that I was like, okay, you've got to just calm down a little bit. Because, I mean, I think the difference in cycling and running is you cannot get away with it in running, and you can in cycling. So, like, in cycling, if you're going full gas and you're with a group, then it's like, okay, you can rest. You can go on behind their wheel. You can get a little bit of a drag. You get breaks in cycling, and you do not in running. But it probably took the first marathon. I went kind of from nothing to doing one. And the way that I hit the wall in that race was something I've never experienced in my life before. And I think that was a big, like, wake up of, you need to pace yourself if you want to keep doing this to actually enjoy it, right? That definitely, just hitting the wall again and again, made me realize.
We got to, change something up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you said the marathon, was that the first race distance that you considered when you switched over to running, or was there something in between?
I actually didn't think I was going to do marathons. My best friend, she came from cycling too. She had retired and she hates running. And she would refuse to do it. So I would, as a joke, continuously ask her, hey, Lauren, do you want to come for a run with me? And she would always say no. And it was just like this joke. I would ask her, I knew she'd say no. And I got back from New Zealand one year and I was sitting at dinner with her. And she said, hey, I was wondering, do you want to do a marathon with me? And I was like, wait, what?
Where did this come from?
Right, I almost fell off my seat. I was just so confused. And she loves the heat. And she's like, yeah, I want to go to Florida in December and there's a marathon. So, oh, let's do it. And I said, great, perfect. So that would have been probably a few months after I'd started running. And so I just was like, yeah, cool, great. It was really nice to, because I had stopped training for anything for a couple of years. I obviously wasn't racing anymore. And I didn't realize how much I needed that. I needed something to work towards. I was feeling very lost because I spent pretty much my entire adulthood with a training plan. And then when I quit cycling, it was the first time in, gosh, like almost 20 years that I didn't have a training plan. And I didn't know how to deal with that. And I did have a lot of mental health issues throughout that time, which obviously I still need to work on because I shouldn't rely on a training plan to get through that. But I having that thing to work towards, make my own training plan and have like that get up in the morning and do this thing, was really cool. So yes, and then the marathon, that was my first running race.
Cool. So you jumped right in, dove right in. I love it. What you said that you were kind of putting together your own training plan. Were you looking at, like, what sort of resources were you seeking out? What research were you doing around the whole thing? Like, how did that all kind of play out for you?
I think I definitely used a lot of the coaching that I got with cycling in a way. Obviously, it's different, but the same idea of, like, give yourself a day off, have one endurance, have a speed, and then make sure to recover around and bring in gym. I used that basis, and then I had a friend that I had met at the running group that had been a top runner before, and she helped me as well. She was like, okay, I think these are some really good workouts that you should add in. Looking back, it was good to start, but I generally, if it's up to me, I will push too hard. I think maybe I went a little bit hard for the first year of running, because I'm always like, how much can I get in until I blow? But it was a combination of what I'd learned in my cycling career combined with some help from another runner.
Cool. And I guess, what were you learning about, like, just training for something different? I know that it sounds like there was a lot of parallels, but as you were going through it, like, what were some things that you were tweaking, adjusting as you kind of went through the plan?
I think I thought I could do a lot more than I could. I think running takes such a massive toll on your body, and you don't necessarily feel it during or after the workout, but you do feel it collectively over time. And needing to really button back a little bit, like thinking, okay, with cycling, I can do 3 back-to-back really, really hard days. You can't do that in running. Like, it just, you're more prone to injury, just feeling really heavy and fatigued. So that was definitely one thing. I've still been playing around with, like, the 2-day back-to-back hard or the easy day after. But I have been very fortunate with the injuries. I mean, I have had one for the last year that was non-running related, but I think I learned that pretty early on, is it's just the second you're feeling fatigued when you start the run, is just don't stop. Like, don't do it. That's not worth it. It's not just because you'll have a bad workout. It's because you're pushing your body and it could probably get injured.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that's the case for a lot of people for their first marathon. You just, like, you don't know what you don't know. So you push yourself beyond your means just because you're like, I don't have any other information to go off of. Yeah.
Totally. And I think one of the biggest things for me with the running is my fueling. Cycling, again, the non-impact, you can eat almost anything. Like, I'd make rice cakes, I'd have bars. You can have a lot of sort of real food. And I didn't think much of it. I just thought, what is going to taste good and what's going to give me good energy. And that's what I'll put in my bottles and put in my pockets. Running, I tell my dad it's his fault, but because he always had a terrible gut, even though he did a lot of running, I really struggle to eat when I run. So obviously that, again, really does not help at all with recovery or being able to actually push hard. So that's still, I mean, I feel like I've got a lot better tab on it now, but it took me a really, really long time to figure out how exactly to fuel. And I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm getting better with the before and after, but the during is still really, really tough. And it's just the pounding and the adjustment has been tricky for me.
Yeah, no, fueling is, you would know better than most. It's a journey for sure. And it changes too. I found that throughout my own journey, is like what was okay for my body for my first marathon is completely different than what I'm doing now that I'm running a few more. So I think it changes over time too. And at this point, like, timeline wise, you had the running box and the cycling box out, correct? But you hadn't had the full subscription box out yet.
So the runner and the rider box is the subscription box.
Gotcha.
And that's what we did on the side when we race bikes. And then Fuel Goods is what we launched in the last year, which is, they are part of that. And now we have an online marketplace. We also have curator boxes on there and all sorts of different ways to make fueling a lot easier.
Got it. Okay, cool. So how were you using, like, your own business to help yourself during that time too? Because I'm sure you had, like, plenty of options to try.
Yeah, no, it's actually, it's a really cool part of the business that I get to work with the partners, so like the brands. So whenever we bring something on, I talk to the people who started the company usually, and I get to learn exactly why they started it, like their reasoning behind it, the science behind it, and they send the product to us. And then our team and other people that are part of the Feel Goods family all try it out and running and riding. And that I definitely was like, okay, let's see, like selfishly, I'm like, okay, let's grab whatever I can and see how it works. So I've definitely been able to try so many really, really cool products. And it is still wild how somebody with all that access is still like, took a really long time to figure out what actually works. I definitely use, we have a lot of nutritionists on board as well that have been really, really helpful. And my sister is actually a sports nutritionist, so she also tries to help me. It's definitely the range of products that I've been able to try has been awesome.
That's cool. I like that. Sweet. So we were figuring out fueling, working our way through the plan. How were you feeling? Like everything was a new milestone for you. Usually when we're training for our first marathon, you've at least maybe run like a 10K or a half marathon or something. So you've 14, 15 is your milestone, but everything was a milestone for you. So like, how were you doing? How were you progressing through training? What was going through your head mentally? Like, what was it like?
Training, I think, like you said, it's all so new. So I didn't really know, like, when you're at that point, everything gets better because it is so new. So like you're going for a new, like what you're doing 1K efforts, and then this week is so much better than last week, and then month later is so much better because you're just like new to it. So it was a very positive training because I did get a lot better. I don't think I got quite the mileage I should have gotten to be running a marathon. And again, the fueling just really like, I really struggled with it. So I was struggling with the recovery. I think it's weird coming from a place where you can go and spend 5 hours on a bike and then you really struggle with getting over 2 hours running. My head couldn't quite grasp that. And again, that goes back to just the body getting used to it and the eating. But then the actual marathon, I did the whole, like, you start and I'm like, man, I feel better than I've ever felt in my life, which is how I start any race, thinking I can do paces I've never done before.
Yeah, so I'll try something new today.
Try something new. Like, okay, I can do it. I think my half was like a 1:29 and I was like, I am flying. This is a great first year of running. And then I got the little bike next to me for the third place person and I got to probably like 18 miles and that's where it was like, no, this is too fast for you. This is out of your ability right now. And again, I didn't feel right. I put the wrong stuff in my bottle. I was eating the wrong stuff. And I just hit the wall so bad. I ended up having to go behind a bathroom bush area to throw up during the run. Oh, I got overheated. I did finish it. I kind of can't remember the last part because I really like it. It was just a complete rookie. I don't even know how to explain it. And I finish, and you know how how we kind of crazy we finish the race and we're like, I would never do one of those again. Like that was the worst experience in my life. And then a day or two later, you're like, think about it. And then the week later, you're like, okay, when's the next one?
Yeah, right. Let's sign up. I know. It's so short-term memory loss in the running space is so real.
Exactly. Sure. But no, I definitely got way too dehydrated and just really bad stomach and just, hit the wall big time.
Yeah. Where did you peak out at mileage? Like, what was your longest run before the marathon?
It would have been about 20 miles, I think.
Okay, cool. So you got all the way up to 20. How was that run? Like, usually I feel like the 20-mile run, unfortunately, either like really rocks your confidence or you're like, okay, I can maybe do this. Like, what do you think that was like for you?
I think it went pretty well. I went with a friend and like really focused on the lead up to it and just made sure that, again, I had eaten enough. And then it was I really struggle in the heat and we did it on a really cold morning. And it felt pretty good. Like my pace was obviously nothing like what I tried to do on the actual race day, But no, it went well. Still was working on the fueling side of things. But that made me think, okay, I can do this. Like, this is going to be fine. And everybody who talked to me before, just their biggest thing to say was, pace yourself. Like, start how you're going to end. And yeah. I thought I heard it.
You heard it for training, just race day. It's so tough. Well, before we get to race day, I know we mentioned a little bit of it, but how were you feeling like the week leading up? I mean, you had that good run leading up. I'm sure you went into some sort of taper from there, but like the excitement of everything, it sounds like you traveled out there too. Like how was everything feeling?
Everything felt really good. I was super excited, which was strange for me because before bike races, I would get extremely nervous. And a big part of that was, I think, with the bike racing, you have a lot of fear of crashing. Usually it goes away once you start, but the lead up to the races, I would always get really, really nervous. So I think coming into the marathon, I was like, well, this is just me against me. There's like no one that can change my trajectory other than me. So I was just really excited. I went with my friend Lauren and a group of really good friends, and we kind of made it just like a very enjoyable time. And it didn't feel stressful. And I think that's because as well with the training and the lead up, it was all just still so new. So it was still fun. I mean, it is still fun now, but I think
you were
naive
at the time.
Yeah, very naive. I had no real expectations. And it just felt good. I'd never come into any race like that before. So I was just like, this is great. I'm going to do this all the time before.
before. And then a couple of days after, but the in between.
Exactly. And a couple of days after that, little bit in the middle there. Right.
That's so good. So feeling pretty good. That's great. And then we get to the start line. We know that the excitement was there. We started out a little bit hot. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that was like you, I know you mentioned it a little bit before, but do you feel like that was you, just having higher expectations for yourself? Was it the crowd? Was it adrenaline, a mix of all the things? Like, what do you think it was all attributed to?
I think I thought, okay, everyone's told me race day, you go so much faster than you train.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have fast shoes on. I have had an easy week. I fueled really well leading up to this. And I just felt good. Like the start, it was still dark. It wasn't a big race. The West Palm Beach, there weren't that many people. And I don't know. I just felt really good. And I think, I was naive. I didn't realize how much that distance can really take out of you, because I've never actually, even with that 20 miler, I didn't run at that kind of pace.
Sure.
And it goes back to cycling too. Usually you can, when you hit the wall, you can generally come back in some way. So I'd never got to that point of absolute exhaustion and still have more to go.
Sure.
So it was just being naive, and I felt good and I was like, great. I feel good. Let's just go.
Yeah, let's go. I love it.
Yeah, and I had people around me and that I just ran with, and I was like, okay, this seems like a nice pace. And I mean, it felt great for 18 miles.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was going to ask, was to break it down like in maybe the first half, but it sounds like the first 18 were pretty consistent. Did you have any like ups, downs, feelings of the course where it was easier than others, like anything that happened between 1 and 18?
I think because there was a half marathon at the same time. So it was two laps on the 13 mile course. So the first lap, I felt really good the whole way. There was a lot more runners around. So there's a lot more people to run with. It was dark and a little bit cooler, like around probably 60, 65 degrees. And it felt good. And then as soon as the sun came up and it got warmer, and I would say probably you passed the 13 mile mark, so then most people I was around went straight to finish.
Yeah.
And so that's where I had to veer off to the left to go and do another lap. And I think that was kind of tough because then I was really by myself. There was really no one else around at that point. And It was probably 14, 15. I was like, okay, I might button off a little bit. I'm starting to feel a little bit funny. My stomach was a little bit rough. And just, yeah, definitely started feeling not that great. And then it took to you then turn around at a point, and that's where I was, yeah, really not in a happy place anymore, thinking how in the world am I going to finish this thing? Because you actually have to go past the finish line.
Oh, that's brutal.
And then carry on around and then come back. So yeah, that was tough.
That's the worst. I said, I did like a solo episode on here for my first marathon, and I talked about how that passing the finish line was like the most defeating part of the whole thing. Yeah. I was like, what, immediately went internal, where I was like, what am I doing? Like, why did I do this?
Why do I do this?
right. It's so hard. And you're right. When you start with a half marathon, it's so deceiving, like how the race is going to end, because it does feel like as soon as they break off, it's a completely different race. It's like, yeah. At least I felt like, oh, the race just started. Like, what I just did was just the warm up. This is where the race started.
And that's what they say, right? The race starts at mile 20, when it's just like, that's where the grit and everything, you have to just push so hard at the end there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. So we know you hit the wall, unfortunately, at 18. Mm-hmm. What were you saying to yourself to pull yourself out of that, the wall? Or like, was there anything that you were saying to yourself that was keeping you moving forward?
At that point, I really just looked down at my feet and said, one foot after the other, like, you've gotten through a lot. You've worked hard to get here. I had my friends up the road, and I was just like, I don't really give myself the choice to pull out. Like, it didn't really go through my mind. I think that's just like, for me, you travel this way, you're going to finish the race. It doesn't matter if you're walking past the line or what, you're going to do it. So yeah, I think it was just one foot in front of the other. I kind of went a little bit blank in my mind, and just focused on just getting going forward. And I think it really helped one of my friends that came. She actually rented one of those city scooters. And she grabbed a water bottle, and in the there was a stretch where she just scooted next to me and started cheering me on and feeding me water.
Oh, I love it.
So that definitely helped. I had to tell her to stop cheering me on, because I was in a place where I was like, I can't take this.
Yeah.
But just having her there was pretty incredible, and definitely pushed me and took my mind off the pain for a moment, which helped.
Yeah, so important to have people. I what do they say? The cliche, like, you don't run the marathon alone. Sounds like for you, it was pretty literal. You didn't run the marathon alone. Not.
Yeah, she would have stuck with me for maybe 2 miles. And yeah, that was a really big help.
That's great. So you mentioned that you were in some pain. Was it like, did you feel like it was physical pain, more mental? Like, when you hit that wall, were you leaning one or the other, or was it just kind of like a lot?
It was body pain too. I think I hadn't worn the race shoes that I was wearing very much. I may have worn them like maybe 3 times before, but nothing obviously that long. And I think I had a lot of like quad and hip pain, but it was just like just nothing in the tank kind of pain. Like, I was just empty. My gut was really sore. And I just, everything combined just was very painful.
Yeah. And then you have to run with that for 8 miles, which is not fun.
Yes.
For the last couple of miles, like when you knew the finish line was in sight, so you knew either you could see it, some races you could see it from a distance, or you knew it was around the corner. Mm-hmm. What was going through your head? Were you like, thank God this is done? I'm like you said, like, I'm never going to do this again. Let's just get across the finish line. Or were you able to like soak in the feeling of, oh, I did this, you know?
No, didn't feel that I did this for a while after. I think I was just so like, what can I do right now to get past that finish line? Like, I just, yes. Again, it was just like down on my feet, one foot in front of the other. That's all I thought. I think I was counting. That's what I used to do when I did workouts on the bike. Like, I would start counting to take my mind off the pain and just focus on something else. So I think I was counting, and so going forward, and I did have to stop really quickly. And then when I started up again, it was just like that cramp.
Yep.
So I was like, I think I was running. I would say if you were looking from the side, it kind of looked like a hobble. but yeah, it was just the focusing on counting, getting to the finish line. That's all, like, yeah, tunnel vision about that line.
Totally. Yeah. So you crossed the finish line, obviously. We ran our first marathon. When do you feel like the feeling of accomplishment really hit you? Like, was it that day? Was it a couple days after, a week after? When did you really get to soak in the experience?
I think it was probably the day after, when I just had, like, when I maybe got some blood flow back to my brain, and just like was able to kind of, stand up and just be like, oh, that's cool. Cause yeah, my friend who was there too, it was her first marathon. And I think when she started talking about it, she's like, we just ran a marathon. I was like, damn, we did too.
We did do that. Yeah.
And, you know, I think the difference is because it wasn't something that I'd really been thinking about doing for a long time. It was kind of a spur of the moment, like, yeah, let's do it. It took some time after to see how, like, cool that achievement is to finish a marathon. And then eventually to then want to do another one is, like, also exciting. It took probably a day.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So at least you got to soak it in at some point.
Yes.
Soak in the experience. That's good. Mm-hmm. And then have you ran a marathon since then, or we did the one?
Yeah, I have. I did cool. two. I've done 2 5/8 of one.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, I did Chicago the following year. A really good friend of mine wanted to do it, and we trained together. So we're like, let's do it together. And then we did Boston last year. So that was epic, incredible.
Yeah.
It was a tough day for me. I mean, I finished it and I was a little bit off the time that I wanted. So I said, okay, I'm going to do another one in 3 months. So I entered Grandma's in Duluth, and probably 2 weeks before that I had actually a gardening accident.
Oh, no.
I was gardening and my dog was on a long leash, and she was just sitting there chilling out, and saw a rabbit and went full gas for the rabbit and sort of beelined me. And I fell back and gave my tailbone a little crack.
Oh my gosh.
And that was, that was a bummer. I ended up, I guess it must've really, it stopped my glute muscle, left glute from activating, because every time it did, it would sort of push on that bone and hurt.
Oof.
Like, it was very minor but very painful. And so when I ran, I was overusing my hamstring.
Sure.
And so it's the first time I had like a actual injury, and so I thought usually if I get a little niggle it goes away, and this time it wasn't going away. And so I got to the start line of Grandma's in perfect conditions, like, had felt really good, had the miles and the legs from Boston, and I got 24.4 miles, and there was a little hill, and my hamstring had been feeling pretty bad the whole way, but I was on my personal best time, so I was like, I got this, like, I can still push through it. And I went up a little hill and I just felt this rip. And unfortunately, yeah, the hamstring just, I don't even know. I couldn't even stand on it at that point.
Oh my
gosh. I couldn't bend it. I had ended up in the medical tent with a arms reach from the finish line.
Oh
so
my gosh.
A real bummer. So that was a year ago, and I'm doing it again. I'm gonna do it again in a month. I'm still having a little bit of hamstring issues, but not like, I'm keeping it pretty well maintained. So I'm just pretty determined to finish it off.
It'll be your redemption for sure.
Exactly.
But that is so horrible. Like, if that happened at mile 1 through 13, I'm sure it wouldn't hurt as much, but I'm sure that the fact that it was so close, that's what was the kicker on that one.
Yeah, that was a bit of a bummer.
Oh, that's so brutal. I just went through an injury myself. I've talked about it a lot on here, but going through an injury, I think you can speak on it too, but that changes your whole perspective on running. You just realize how I guess for me, like how fragile we are with running and how quickly something can just completely take you out of the sport that you really love. Like what, maybe not on race day, obviously, because you were probably in a whole lot of pain, but like, did you, were you able to reflect on that experience after the fact?
I think that really listening to the body is so important, because I think if I hadn't run that marathon, my hamstring would have healed a lot faster.
Yeah.
And so I do, there is a lot of regret of doing it. I think I had been like, okay, I've trained hard, let's just do it and deal with it later. So I think definitely, yeah, learning to listen to the body, if it hurts, stop. And I've definitely like you said, like it's when you run pain-free, it is such a blessing. Like it feels so good. And there are so many people, like my business partner, Laura. She was a very, very good runner and sensational cyclist, but she needs a knee replacement. She hurt her knee and had multiple surgeries from basketball, and she can't run. And I mean, she tried to do a 5K. When I say tried to do, she hadn't run all year and went and did the turkey trot and absolutely killed it, did amazing. But she's been dealing with that ever since. She just can't run. So I think, yeah, really appreciating being able to run and not taking it for granted is definitely a big one. And you're just listening to the body, because you can have a little niggle that you can have some days off and rest and it get better, or you can have a little niggle and keep pushing it and then deal with it. Could be years to recover, which in my case it has been almost a year. So yeah, I think it's listening to the body is super important. And totally. Taking the time, you're going to be okay. A little bit of time off is going to be fine.
And if you haven't gone through an injury, because this is where I was, I was like, I hear all this advice about taking time off and listening to my body. But as soon as it happened to me, I was like, it's just running pain, you know, like it'll be okay. But you know, if you can take it from a few people that have gone through it, like it's really going to be better for you in the long term if you just take a step back.
Totally. And for me, the one thing that I've really noticed is that when I stopped doing strength work, I tend to get niggles. As soon as I take a couple of weeks off strength, I start getting niggles. So it's one thing that I've been doing that has really helped with that a lot.
Totally. Yeah. Helps a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we made it through training. I always like to ask, when somebody's ran multiple marathons, like especially because your first marathon, like you were saying, you were so naive to the sport, there were things that you were kind of just like trial and error and all that good stuff. So what do you think changed from your first marathon to some of your more recent ones where you've had a little bit more success?
I've learned to pace myself. That's
important.
A big one. I think pacing for me is massive. And within training too, because even if I now have a coach, and at the start when I had coaches, they'd give me a certain pace to follow, and I'd be like, well, I'm gonna go a bit faster because I just want to try and push it. And I'm realizing that they're giving you that pace for a reason. And so I've learned that just because you're doing a workout doesn't mean you should end up laying on the ground. Like for running, to be able to do multiple days, you can't kill yourself every workout. Again, it's different to cycling. You can't do it. Otherwise, your training is not productive at all. Mm-hmm. And then the other big one is fueling. I think the before, especially for me, I run really early. And I used to not eat before because I ran so early, and I realized how terrible that is for my recovery and performance. So I've learned to eat before, I've learned what my body likes while I'm running, and then that recovery straight after has been honestly the fueling and the pacing together is the reason I'm still running. Because if you'd asked me after that marathon and some of the training days before if that's something I wanted to do long term, I would have said no. This is awful.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be awful. Like even grandma's, even though it was, I didn't finish it, like I loved that run a lot because I had paced myself. I started 5 minutes slower than I thought I wanted to finish, so that I made sure I did. And then I was eating a lot with my stomach being fine. And it was like, I think I was smiling even though it was like hitting the pace I hadn't hit before, it was just a very enjoyable run. And I've really enjoyed the training because I haven't pushed myself to some limits that I used to. So yeah, it's just being able to enjoy it has been really important.
Love it. Yeah, the first time you feel correctly on a long run, you're like, oh, this is what it feels like. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that bad.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to, before we get into just some of our like closing questions, I wanted to talk a little bit about Feel Goods as well and how that all came about. So I know that that came around in 2024, so pretty recently, but if you want to talk a little bit about like who it is, where it came from, what sort of the things you support, that kind of thing, I think that would be a good place to go.
Yeah, I mean, so I think like we were doing the runner and the rider subscription boxes since 2013. And that came about because as professional athletes, we have access to so many incredible nutritionists and we just get as much information and product as we could dream of. And it just never seemed hard. Like fueling didn't seem complicated because we were very fortunate to have access like we did. And when we raced, we stayed at host houses. So people who were really into the sport, they would bring us into their home, they would feed us, and we'd go
off to race. Cool.
It's a really cool way to meet people. And the number one question asked was, what do you fuel with? Why? Like, how can we fuel better? It was just like this. It was on the top of their minds and pretty much everyone that I talked to. And I think that's where I was like, wow, it is such a massive part of the sport. And if I like put myself in a day, if I don't forget to bring food on my ride or don't recover properly, like I do not do well the next day. And when my life depended on doing well, it made a massive difference. So we started the subscription boxes, sort of an introductory to products that were all curated and vetted by our team of athletes. So we put products in there that we'd tried, we like, and we put pamphlets in there that educates the customer about the product. So it's like, this is why we picked it. This is when you should use it. This is why you should use it. And because it is so personal, it's a way for them to give it a shot, try it based on like the timing, because that makes a really big difference. And if it works for them, great. Then they can go off to that partner and buy more. And that was the goal of just like trying to make people feel better in an easier way, because it's overwhelming and it's scary. And there's a lot of different information out there and a lot of different products. And we were like, this is really great. But I think the problem is we're putting all sorts of nutrition in there. We're putting healthy breakfast, like pre, during, post workout, we're putting snacks, we're putting accessories. And if something that people need all of, if they're having to go off to all these individual vendors, it's like, again, you're adding another like pain. And so we were like, why don't we just, we'll do the subscription boxes and we'll also have a marketplace where everything is so that people can get everything at one shot. So that was where Feel Good started. And then it's also a place where, okay, if you find out what you want, you can go on and buy it, put on auto ship, buy it one off, that's fine. But the really big part of it is we have a quiz on there. So if somebody is like, I'm a runner, these are my goals, this is the kind of fuel I like if it's chews or gels or hydration, or maybe you don't know, and we curate a box for them based on what their answers are to the quiz to help them in their first trial of fuel. And then we also have other curated boxes on there, say the energy kit or the runner box, just for them to try before they commit to anything so they can get the single serves. We just are really trying to make fueling easier and less overwhelming. So we're also there to answer any questions, and we have a lot of really awesome nutritionists to help us with the boxes. So it's been really, really cool to see how excited people are and to help them, because like I said before, it's everything. Like fueling is everything.
Totally.
And especially for longevity in a sport, if you want to enjoy it and if you want to do it for a long time, if you're not fueling, you're probably not going to last very long.
Totally. That's so great. And I said it at the beginning of the show, but I just love how Feel Good specifically, it seems like it's geared towards like the everyday athlete, which is mm-hmm. amazing, because there's too many products out there that are geared towards the elite athletes. We didn't need yeah. another one. So the fact that it's inclusive like that, I think is really unique and awesome too.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it is. And like we go to expos and stuff all year and see the mountain of fuel out there. And yeah, it's just like, even for us who are in it every day, it's just, dang, like this is, there's it's a lot. So then just yeah. to yeah, go through it and be like, okay, what is actually like, what is good for our audience? Yeah, it's, and then I get the benefit of trying some really cool new products as well.
Totally. I love it. So cool. Well, thank yeah. you so much for walking through our story or your story. Just to wrap us up here, I'd like to do a couple fun questions, and I'm excited to ask you about Fuel because you're so in this space, but asking about Fuel and shoes, I always give the disclaimer that Fuel and shoes are your own journey. Please go try everything. Go get something like the Runner's Box where you can try a couple different options, do some trial and error, whatever works best for you. Same thing with shoes. Go to your local running store, get fitted, do what's best for you. But for you, what have you liked for Fuel? What are some of your favorite Fuel options?
So for during, I really like you can is the one that works with me. You can and then also Scratch hydration.
Love Scratch
on the bottom. Yeah, Scratch is awesome, and their everyday is really good to add to whatever I've got going on. So those are my two, and then I'm a really big momentous way recovery person, so I have that straight after with some cool. I mix the whey in with some Scratch recovery, because that's got your sugar and carbs with the protein.
Cool. Yeah, the Scratch recovery mixes, if you haven't tried them, are amazing. They're like yeah. my go-to. They taste so good.
They're so good. Yeah,
they're so good.
You can just have them during the day because they taste chocolate milk if you have the chocolate one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, so good. And then shoes. What have you liked for shoes over time?
I am Hoka. I've tried Saucony, I've tried Nike, but I always, the Cielo that they bring out for the race shoe, I am a huge fan. It just is a very comfortable shoe for me, and it feels fast. So yeah, always, long time Hoka. I've tried so many different ones, but that just seems to be where I am most comfortable.
Love it. I always joke, like, the Hoka crew, it's either all Hoka and that's all you'll ever run in, or you hate yep. it. It's like yep. there's no middle ground with Hoka.
Totally. And like you said, like, that the shoes are so individual. Like, yes. that's, I mean, yeah, same with Fuel, but it's, I mean, I ran that race in Nike, the first race, and my body was like, absolutely never do that to me again.
Yeah. Yeah. So specific for sure. Yeah. And you have to try it. Like, go for sure. Go get your feet measured. But even after that, try a bunch of different stuff. I know shoe demos are great for that kind of thing. Like going to a local yeah. running store, trying out something, going for a short run. So definitely, mm-hmm. definitely do all the things, but
totally.
Cool. Well, sweet. Well, if anybody will, we're going to actually jump over to the bonus episode, which is on myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusive. It's our paywall community. We're just going to keep the conversation going for another 5 or so minutes. But if anybody for our regular episode wants to follow along with you or Fuel Goods, where can they find you?
So we're at fuelgoods.com yeah. And then fuel_goods on social media.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to jump over to the bonus. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.